You're listening to DraftKings Network.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
So, Eddie had an amazing excuse of telling his wife that when the Maple Leafs called, his aunt was sick.
You're calling that amazing?
An all-timer.
Yeah. I have one that's worse, if
no
you can
way.
Believe it. Yeah.
No way.
I once went on a first date, like this is 10, 12 years ago now, and I get there and immediately I was like, this guy's a dud.
Yeah.
I couldn't sit through this.
I had to pull the parachute.
Half a drink left and I'm panicking. I'm like, I can't be here anymore. I was like, oh, hold on 1 second. Pretending my roommate, who's my best friend, was calling me. I go outside and I call her. And I was like, this is the worst date of my life. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. Well, our dishwasher broke. And I was like, perfect.
Wow.
I go back
inside. That's all you needed.
I go inside and I say to him, I was like, I am so sorry. I have to leave. My dishwasher broke.
There's flooding everywhere in the
kitchen.
And
he was like, what? And I was like, soap is everywhere. It is a huge problem.
Bubbles everywhere. It's like one big bubble
bath.
Yeah,
what? Well, it's just like the splish splash situation.
But your roommate can't handle it. Can't handle it
and
by yourself.
I left. I didn't even finish my drink. I left.
He offered to help. He's
and
like, I'll
this,
come back with you. Yeah, I got like I can help
to
you.
To this day,
I'm actually a mechanic.
I both, love soap.
Yeah, I feel.
We don't need
bad
a mechanic.
But yeah, I'm like we got it. I feel bad about it. Also, kind of proud of myself that I just rolled with it.
And now you guys are engaged. How about that? What a journey.
The horror it would have been if he had just said, yes, I'm a dishwasher repairman.
Can you imagine?
Maytag.
You
Maytag
imagine?
Repairman. Yeah. Yes.
There's one on the wire already, is what you say.
We didn't even get to what he did. He could have been.
I mean, I want to talk to you about some Heat things that we didn't get to yesterday because Mike Ryan was yelling that everything is rigged.
What a jerk.
Rigged. Mm. A couple of things I want to get to with you. If the Heat have four turnovers in the game and allow Denver to only make five threes, that's not a game you should lose at home by double digits. Just those two things by themselves. You're playing maximum efficient on your side and not making baskets, obviously, but not turning the ball over, not making mistakes, not allowing fast, easy baskets.
Is this a question or a statement?
It is. Here's the question. The question is, as you and others demand Bam play better, what's the rebuttal to he can't, the other guy's better than he is?
Well, I don't think anyone's asking him to play better than Jokic. We're just saying, don't play bad. Don't play.
But you're saying be aggressive against that guy, and it's hard to be aggressive again because he's better than you are.
No, I don't subscribe to that. Like, I think the idea is Bam settles for that mid-range jumper a lot. And on days that he's hitting it, it's awesome. But on days where you're 6 of 18 or whatever he was, like, hey, here's an idea. Yeah, he's bigger than you. Also, you're quick and you jump out of the gym and you're extremely long and you're a skilled basketball player. Take it to the rim. Like, dare them to stop you. And by the way, they did. There was a couple of times that he went up and he got blocked or smothered. But to me, I just don't think that the mid-range jumper, when it's not falling, is the answer. And there's probably no better example than what happened when the Heat made that last push and Duncan Robinson hit a three, and they've got a, you know, we were talking about that.
I mean, at the last play, Duncan hits the three. Mm-hmm. They cut it to, what was it, nine or ten?
Nine.
All of a sudden, Bam gets the ball and shoots an
off a turnover. They force a turnover, so we have momentum going.
And he shoots that elbow line jumper where it was just like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, and he had a couple of people.
Your coverage is hungover.
Yeah,
your coverage is hungover. Your points are drifting off.
Hold on a second. Guys, what? Bam is averaging 23-14. No. Don't do the no thing to me. If I told you that before the series, Bam was giving you 23-14 against that creature, you would have taken it. It's Jimmy Butler who is not giving you enough. It is not Bam. He's the best player. He's the guy being mentioned in the same sentence as Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, and he's given you nothing in the NBA Finals.
Not nothing, but not what he's been.
He played a lot better than Bam last game.
And Stephen A. Smith, who got dunked on a little bit yesterday.
By whom?
I mean, J.J. Redick pointed out when Stephen A. is saying that Jokic's postgame isn't special, Redick said, you know what's the most efficient play anywhere in basketball in the half in the last decade of data tracking in the half court? Jokic in the post.
Woof.
Well, I mean, what Redick said afterward was boom. He actually said the boom afterward.
He literally said boom. Yeah.
He said boom. I think Williams also said boom, where Stephen A's like, post game's not that special. It's the most efficient play in the sport for 10 years.
This thing where people.
Just looks ugly. I mean,
I don't understand it. I don't understand this, whether it's Stugatz or Stephen A. Smith, whether it's whoever, this idea that, like, you guys are kind of overhyping this Jokic. That's the overall message, right? Is that he's not all that. And I just don't understand where people get off on that because he's incredible.
No, I'm acknowledging that he is great. I figured it out when I was watching the game the other night.
Uh-huh. You said while yawning, you texted me.
I yawned
amazing
a few times.
Amazing triple-double. Yeah. I yawned throughout it.
I never yawned watching Michael Jordan. I never yawned watching Kobe Bryant. I never yawned watching Dwayne Wade. Here's the problem with Jokic. He's a great player. Mm-hmm. I'm acknowledging that. Best player in the game, okay? I don't want to watch and ask myself, how? I just want to watch and go, oh, my God.
That's what I'm doing the entire time I'm watching him.
I'm not. I'm asking how.
I call BS. I think you have yawned during a Dwayne Wade game.
Probably.
Stu, I think I have a 90s baseball comparison for you that maybe can get you on board with Jokic.
Okay.
I think that Nikola Jokic is Greg Maddux.
Wow.
Oh. And that Greg Maddux was as dominant as any pitcher in Major League Baseball in the 90s. Was he as entertaining to watch as Randy Johnson, Roger Clemens, Pedro Martinez, these flamethrowers with crazy sliders and all these other pitches? No. He just was constantly great, and batters would say they went a comfortable 0-for-4 against him, but sure. 0-for-4 nonetheless. You guard Jokic for 22 seconds, and then he's going to throw something up that looks like he's literally throwing
some
it overhand,
junk.
And it's going to bounce around the rim and somehow end up going in, but he's going to be the greatest. Nikola Jokic, Greg
a couple Maddux. Of Stephen A. items Fair. That I was getting to because I don't want to sink into the hole again of Jokic is unlike anyone we've ever seen. Stugatz is bored by him. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, he's not alone. And when I went out there with the take of, I think part of his stardom issue is that he's not American, that got aggregated, weaponized. But there are a number of reasons that it's so, and one of them is also that he's not American, and another one is that he's fighting through interviews in a second language, and so you don't get the personality of the interview, and some people don't like the personality of the game. Also, that he plays like Tim Duncan, doesn't seem interested in fame, plays in Denver, a lot of different reasons. But basketball people, and you've got to cross over to be transcendent, to be a star, you got to get out of basketball. Basketball people are like, holy shit, never seen anything like it. Most amazing, beautiful thing, not ugly, not boring, don't know how it happens, but the mystery is discovery. And awe and wonder to watch it unfold because Bam Adebayo, all of that athleticism, gets stuck in his navel. like, might go 23-14, but doesn't look like himself. Jokic looks like himself against everybody. Nobody bothers him, and he's not having any of the inefficient Jimmy games. It's not going to happen. Like, can you show me the last time he went something like 7-for-20? That's not something that happens to him. He's going to shoot 50% in every game because he's smarter and better than everybody who's playing it.
Even Murray said after the game, he's like, I don't think the consistency gets talked about enough. And I think watching Jokic, the reason I love it, I know I've joked about, like, it looks like he's going to work, or, you know, he's just like us. I think that there's something sort of magical about not knowing exactly what is going to happen, but knowing that it's going to be spectacular and it's going to be quick. Like, when he has an amazing assist, I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know it's going to get there. And that, to me, it's like very rewarding.
But you say it's quick, and the fascinating thing about him is it's quick and also incredibly slow.
Well, he moves. He's like, it's, yeah.
Now you're coming around.
But this is part of the problem. It doesn't look like you're watching ballet in the air. It looks like you're cooking molasses.
No, but he has touches where he gets it and immediately it's off. I don't know. I think that there's a little bit of grace in there.
I just scrolled through his entire season, and what? I can find two poor shooting games all season, including the playoffs.
He had a couple of 9-21s, though.
There's two. I see 30% and 27% in one, like, two games. Look, these are the
wrong. I don't believe that, Dan. He hasn't missed a shot in the playoffs, by the way. I haven't seen him make a shot.
Every game, 50, 60, 70.
He makes every shot.
He's in the 60% range on average. This is insane.
It's the droning excellence of Pete Sampras. It's the boring excellence of Tim Duncan, except better. Because I would take Jokic against Tim Duncan.
Would you? The big fundamental?
Show me the three consecutive MVPs Tim Duncan should have won.
I mean, show me the rings that Jokic has.
Okay. Atta boy, Stigatz.
You
walk right into his house.
He's getting started. I mean, Duncan's career is over. Jokic is started.
He's like, Jokic is like the best guy ever at missionary sex.
Put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Lebatard Show. Yeah. Is Jokic like the best guy ever at missionary sex?
The only thing that makes that take even better is Chris delivered it with all seriousness. Just stone faces.
Like, he didn't smile for like 5 seconds after he said it.
Was
This is another reason Jokic is not someone who's more popular. What he's doing doesn't look like he's enjoying it. All of us would be enjoying the holy hell out of that missionary sex.
Because he's not doing a doggy style. That's what.
All right, go sit in the pedal.
Yeah, you gotta go,
can't
man.
Be subtle.
So heavy-handed.
Incapable of it. Just incapable of it. Somehow less subtle than Stugatz. It's breathtaking. It really is. The thing I was saying about Stephen A. Smith, though, when I say breathtaking,
see ya.
Both Stephen A. and J.J. Redick were on television frustrated by the heavy breathing of Kendrick Perkins. Like, they called
like,
it out.
Are you making noises?
They called it out. They learned, like, you sound like you have apnea. Like, stop breathing so heavy.
Was he in Denver?
And Stephen A. Smith has said, as we spread the blame around here, it's Jimmy, it's Bam, all of you be better than that garbage truck with hands. Also, Stephen A. Smith is saying, where the hell is Caleb Martin?
Everyone's tired, man.
Where the
he
hell
was
is
at the mixer last night, I think.
He was at the mixer, Dan.
I met him.
What?
Hello, Mr. Martin.
I missed that.
You missed everything.
You missed
wrong.
Cody Martin, too.
You missed everything.
I missed Cody.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories. per 12 ounces fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
Lou Holtz, number
I
one.
I can tell you. Tripping my balls off.
I can't
play
get
a little touch of gray.
You cannot give me enough fake Lou Holtz saying any number.
Tripping my balls off.
Weird. You can't give me enough.
Stugatz.
The drool on the microphone. I'm not sure
sucking
what you're
doing. Sucking on a pacifier to avoid eating my own face.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
Finally, we can get someone around here who knows their basketball as opposed to this assortment of insiders and front office people and just gas bags in general.
What are you talking about?
Doris Burke with us. Thrilled to see her. Loves her basketball. I believe she loves basketball more than me. And put it on the poll, please, Juju, at Levitard Show. Does Doris Burke love basketball more than Amin El-Hassan?
But not Tony.
nobody can love basketball more than me.
Okay, maybe not. Real Hoopers, though. Thank you, Tony. Doris, thank you for being on with us. And I'm watching something that I'm trying to make historical sense of, because I think I can say Jokic is the best basketball player ever. I feel like, I mean, he could keep
winning. Did you see Michael Jordan?
I know, but I'm just saying he could keep winning MVPs here. Thank you, Stugatz. I appreciate you for always being there in that regard. Very controversial opinion from you. But seriously, Doris, can you help me understand? Because I've never seen someone who plays basketball this way, who can dominate a game easily, slowly.
Yes. You know what, Dan? It's been a privilege for me, obviously, to cover LeBron's career, KD's career. I came in at the very tail end of Kobe's successful years. This guy is unique in his ability. I call him the chess master because he's solving every defense in real time. He seems to see and feel it in a way that's really special. And what I love, we had a game earlier this year, and I think our sideline reporter in the game was Roz. And he had set some record, and forgive me, I don't remember what it was, but it was a passing record, an assist record. And you know this guy, he deflects attention away from himself. He's quite uncomfortable anytime you're asking him about his individual success. But on that particular night, he had set an assist record. And I think the way Roz phrased it was something about, are you proud? What are you most proud of? And he said, well, he said, I guess I'm proud that maybe this record means that I've helped my teammates. He's such a likable guy. And what I fail to understand and what frustrates me wildly is what I feel like can be disrespect toward him and like people underestimating him. We sat with Gabe Vincent yesterday and then Aaron Gordon. And Gabe said something really intriguing. He said he's a better athlete than you think, because there's going to be a moment where you're and KD said something similar about Luka as it relates to this. And what Gabe said to us yesterday was something like, he's a better athlete than you think. He's going to pretend he's lumbering up the floor, and then he's going to hit you with a burst, and he's passed you, or he's made you look silly with something he's done. And then Aaron Gordon talked about the relentless nature of this guy, the commitment to conditioning that he made. He's tireless. What did he play the other night? 43 minutes, almost 44 minutes. He doesn't fatigue anymore. And he's just, I don't know, there's something so likable about the man. He wears his wedding ring tied around his shoe. He's so humble. He cares, could care less about the NBA lifestyle. This guy is one of my absolute favorite people and one of my absolute favorite players to watch. And I just, PJ Carlesimo, Kesty, and I keep saying, guys, we just keep saying we are so thankful that, you know, at this moment where 11 million people are tuning in, that maybe people can start to appreciate him, because shame on us. Shame on us as a fan base in this country if we don't respect and appreciate what this man is doing.
Doris, I was talking to someone yesterday at media availability and said all the great players, they usually play largely mistake-free basketball. But then there comes a time where they make mistakes, but because of their greatness, whether it's athleticism, whether it's just sheer skill, they make the play anyway, even though they made mistakes. I watched Jokic, and he doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't. We never get to that point where his talent needs to take over, because he gets it right every single time. How do you make him play mistake basketball? How did the Miami Heat get him to falter a little?
You know, I don't know that that's the solution to beating this team, to be perfectly frank with you. I mean, I just don't think you're going to force him. You're never going to speed him up. His mind works so quickly. There's a subtle thing that happens in basketball often where, you know, as a defensive team, and look at what Spo has done in controlling tempo and keeping teams off balance as they've marched through this playoffs. You know, in game 7, I believe, of Boston, I don't think he played the zone until like the second half of the fourth quarter. So I think it was 6 minutes and down. He didn't play it until a particular moment. Like his pulling of the strings is so timely, Eric Spoelstra. But this guy, again, I go back to that word chess master, where the pawns or the rooks or whatever's moving on the floor, and he's feeling it. He's feeling it in this nuanced way that maybe you can't quantify. So what did they do? You know, you tried to affect Jamal Murray in game 2. So then what does Michael Malone do? He counters with the most on-ball screens. And, I mean, you know this. That one action of dribble handoff, that's very hard to disrupt. Mm-hmm. You saw them blitz Jamal a little bit more, and they picked their pickup points were different for Jamal. Then Jamal uses that escape dribble, and I still think there's more to be mined if they continue to trap Jamal, particularly with Jokic on the floor. Now he's going to escape dribble. I think if he gets off it faster and the release points are there more quickly, then all of a sudden it's a 3-on-2 with Jokic with the ball in his hands, and that's problematic. But I know this. So you guys remember in the game in last year's finals at Boston, I think it's 4, and it's a must-win situation. And the intensity coming off Steve Kerr and Stephen Kerr, it's like, these badass MFs are not walking out of here without a win.
I love it.
And game two in Denver, Eric Spoelstra, Chris Quinn, Caron Butler, the entire staff, there's just this intensity pouring off of these guys. And that matters. And that matters. And then that, you know, fuels the team. So my expectation tonight is you're going to see all that incredible, fabulous, nasty, competitive spirit from Miami. And I'll be shocked if this isn't a possession ball game down the stretch. And we've seen Miami flourish in those environments. So I just can't wait for tip.
Doris, I am asking you this because you're a Hall of Famer. So if your answer is no, it's no. Okay, but I'm asking your permission.
Well, wait a minute. If her answer is no, it's no. Yes,
that's I will honor the answer, I will fake my way through it.
You're gonna say she gets to be the arbiter.
If we say Scott's, that should always be the case when you're talking to a woman. If my answer is no, it's no.
Well, you're right. You are right. But I'm asking permission here. Can I respect what it is Jokic is doing on the floor and still find it to be boring?
Oh no!
Oh gosh! I have a hard time wrapping my mind around that.
Damn it!
I do believe it's happening some though. You're saying how nice he is and how likable and everything else, and I think him struggling through his second language. I mentioned that if he were American, right, and interested in stardom, he'd be somebody who'd have all the stardom because he is a 7-foot. Unicorn, like it's not very often. Doris, I see it in your face when you're talking about him. You're like, my God, I respect the science of what this is, what is happening here so much, because no one gets to break the game over their knee like that.
It's crazy. Let me ask you this: was it Pete Sampras, guys, who had, you know, that great tennis career, and yet people did not appreciate him because his personality was, you know, understated.
Give me some Agassi. Yeah. Some Agassi.
Yeah, it was an Agassi. Great point with the hair early and then dating Steffi Graf. And listen, we are in an entertainment medium, right? Like, this is part of sports. It's an entertainment medium. We were talking about this last night at dinner with PJ and Kessie about, you know, the women's Final Four became compelling basketball because Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark were these compelling figures in basketball. And for 3 weeks, those two players dominated the basketball narrative. Now, the playoffs hadn't started, and I understand. But I remember going to the Women's Final Four for the first time as a fan and saying, wow, you guys have maybe the most captivating players in the sport right at the moment. regardless of NBA, college, because at the moment, those women were so compelling. And so you lose a little bit of that with Jokic, because all he wants to do is be with his daughter and his wife. And I begged him to do, I said, listen, I want to do a film session with you. I'm going to put you in a chokehold like your brothers until you tap out and say yes. And he just looked at me and he's like, Doris, I'm not doing it.
put it on the poll, Juju, at Lebatard Show. Would Jokic be a bigger star if he had a mullet? I think Federer is from the same class of personality type where the excellence should be enough, but for some reason we need a little pizzazz on it. Amin, you were talking about something non-basketball related before the show. I'd like you to present that question to Doris that you were asking me before the show.
Doris, have you ever used your cell phone in your dreams?
Have I ever used my cell phone in my dreams? I don't believe so.
What do you think's happening there, Amin?
I submit to you that no one actually dreams about using their phone, even though it's something that we are all kind of addicted to. No one dreams about using their cell phone, even though Juju Gotti is saying...
I have nightmares about me using my damn phone. Salute to you, Doris.
I have nightmares that I'm writing in a Google Doc and it's the wrong thing, but these feel similar.
What is a worse excuse, Doris? Is it my dishwasher was broken or my aunt is sick?
dishwasher broken.
Wow.
You're on a heater, Charlotte. You're validating me.
Doris, how about help me with this part of it, right? Because I know Bam and Jimmy can help make each other better, but I don't think that they can make each other better the way Jokic makes Jamal Murray better. No slight on Murray.
Yeah. I think it's two different tandems. And what I saw an interesting number yesterday about Jimmy. So from the point he hurts his ankle in game one against the Knicks, in 12 or 14 games, he's been under 50% shooting. And what's happening, he's got the most drives, Dan, in the playoffs. And that's when he's at his most dangerous because he jump stops and he either scores over somebody. And he can score over size and he can finish when he's right. And but what they have done is they've met him in the paint with size. They forced him to be a passer. The game three, the team went 0 for 7, I think, off his first 7 passes. And these were good looks. I mean, like these were not necessarily wide open where you have got 5 feet. I just don't think like Miami is averaging 99 points. In the 4 final games of the Eastern Conference Finals, I think they went 93, 94, 103, 103. I just remember thinking to myself, those numbers won't beat Denver. Like, Denver is so good offensively. I think the threshold is, like, between 108 and 112, an absolute minimum you've got to get to. What'd they score in game one? I don't even remember. 111? Well, I don't know. Whatever. I just think they've got to score more points. And unless they use the great equalizer, the 3 – to greater effect like they did in game 2, which was such, I think they scored 51 points from 3. Unless they do that, I think they're going to have a hard time winning this series.
Doris, we're going to see you when you come back here. You owe us $25 for clearing your voice into the microphone. But Stugatz wants to, that's okay. No, it's all right. It's just a fining system we have around here.
$25, we trust you.
But Stugatz,
I'll front it to you.
Stugatz has a question for you here to close us out.
A 3-pointer for your life, Doris. A little game I like to call 3-pointer for your life. You have 2 choices, okay? J.J. Redick and Larry Bird. They have to make the shots, okay, for
she
you to stay alive.
That's how that would
she
work.
I just want to make sure Doris is clear, okay?
She understands.
Don't preface it anymore. I have my answer. It's Larry Bird.
Thank you. You're alive. Congratulations.
Congratulations. You lived, Doris. Good seeing you. Thank
Doris.
You for being on.
Doris!
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 Doris! Hey, Doris!
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it. Because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing, the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Levitard.
Kiss me where you bruise me. Taste me on that fleshy part.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Taste me on that fleshy part.
Taste me, not touch me.
Taste me on that fleshy part.
Wow.
Wow, Bruce. That
Stugatz.
Bruce, I'm talking about the clitoris. I'm talking about the clitoris. Yes, I am. Now we're out here riffing. And I'm going to try to find it if I can.
Okay. Well, wonderful rendition.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
I have the wheel of issues here in front of me, Stugatz, and it is stacked. We have Zion and porn stars. Mm-hmm. We have celebrity dating that includes Shakira rumors.
Okay.
We have, this is also a separate category. It just says up there, the milkshake lady, which is what I called the woman who is dating Bill Murray
the
now.
The woman who is dating Bill Murray. Wow.
Put some respect on her name.
Khalees.
It is my fault. I don't know who the milkshake lady is. I know her song. I know that it brings the boys to the yard. I don't know very much else about her. We have Billy's.
Brings Bill Murray to the yard. Yeah.
Thank you. We have Billy's hockey analysis is also
mine?
On the wheel. Yes. Yeah. Yours, Billy. Because
today's not about me, Dan.
You're angling to replace Roy on that trip to Vegas.
No. He's
it
not
didn't land
shit,
on Billy. Man. We haven't spun the wheel yet. So
that's true.
That's correct. Yeah. But we've got Buck Showalter blaming that damn World Baseball Classic for all the Mets losing.
Finally.
I thought he said he was proud of how they just got swept.
We've got Mike Breen is coming up later in the show. He's also on the wheel. If you're watching on television, that's coming up later on the show. And also, Amin wants to correct me on something. So let's go ahead and spin the wheel and see what it is that it... Oh, and New York smoke is up there as well.
Oh, my gosh.
The smoke in New York from all of Quebec is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Amin, what does it say up there? I can't see it from here.
I believe it says stat of the day, Dan.
That wasn't one of the choices, but go ahead and play the stat of the day music. I did not give stat of the day as one of the choices.
It's up there. It's in fine print.
I have the choices written down here. I mean, I wrote them down for no reason. Well, I thought you were
going to ask choices
me.
Again? Yeah. What
it's
are
a
the,
real wheel. Amin sees it.
What are the choices?
Zion and porn stars, celebrity dating, milkshake lady, Billy's hockey analysis, Buck Showalter, Mike Breen, and Amin wants to correct Dan and New York smoke.
Mike Breen, only if you're watching on television, not if you're doing audio, but stat of the day it is, so go ahead and play the music.
Stat of the day, it is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day, it is the stat of the day.
My blood alcohol content is 0.999.
You sound like shit. Like your energy stinks.
My
like
energy's amazing. Amazing.
It doesn't sound like
not really.
It,
yeah. it sounds awful.
It
but,
doesn't yeah. sound to anyone yeah. like your energy is amazing.
No. All right. So I'll give you a different stat then. Stat of the day. So every NBA Finals since I left the Phoenix Suns in 2012 has featured at least one person I worked with. And of those, I guess that's 11 NBA Finals that have happened, someone I've worked with has won the championship 9 times.
The stat of the day is about you and it wasn't even on the wheel?
You goddamn right.
All right, go sit in the penalty box for 2 minutes.
I wanted to Jesus. I wanted to hear Billy's hockey analysis.
Okay, well, maybe we'll spin the wheel again and see if we get to that hockey analysis. You could leave now and listen to it in the penalty box.
Yeah. If it lands on
that, I so regret asking you. That question.
I wrote them down.
I do too. I don't know why you threw it to me.
And I now regret paying you.
Wow.
I mean, his week. He's just been drinking and spending money on liquor and throwing parties.
Sounds like a great week.
And inviting people to the studios.
You're not paying Boris dividends.
Boris Johnson's here.
Boris.
Oh, Sanchez. All right,
good
sorry.
Work by both of you.
Boris Johnson.
I don't know.
Boris Johnson.
I don't know why I said that.
BJ. He's in Great Britain.
BJ.
You did, Stu?
Yeah.
The tennis player?
He's going to throw me in the penalty box. Long week, Dan. A long month. Long year.
Panthers. Stanley Cup final.
Dems the brakes.
I'm going to go to a different wheel.
Oh, no.
A wheel with a different set of issues.
Oh, hold on.
But we're going to spin both wheels at the same time.
Wow. This is difficult.
A couple of wheels cutting it up.
Do we have the technical capacity
to do that? Do they have to land on the same thing, or do we talk about two things at once?
No, we're going
to
see what it lands on. I don't know what's going to happen here. We've never spun two wheels at once. But on this one, there's the University of Florida documentary that's coming out.
UF Doc.
There's the Barry Bonds documentary that's coming out. There's a Roy's Top 10.
Wow.
For the first time in a very long time. Huh. There's Chris Cody's opinion that six-year-olds should not be allowed courtside. And Zion and Porn Stars is also on this wheel as well.
It's on both wheels?
It's somehow
it's
on
never
both
happened
wheels.
Before.
And also Jason Tatum also on the wheel. Jason Tatum asking Damian Lillard, why not Boston?
That's what I'm saying.
Why do you hate Boston? What's the matter? Why won't you come over here? And also a president indicted for espionage.
Two wheels. This is very exciting.
All right, let's see if
Jimmy Carter, man.
We're going to spin them both at the same time.
Well, we're going to start one. Go ahead. Spin one, Roy. All right, now let me spin the other one. They're both spinning right now.
And Billy, where did...
Oh, the other one's going? Wow. Height of technology right now.
See where it landed, but okay, but we just didn't accept its answer. Billy, what did it land on right now?
Marlins are back.
Dan, you didn't mention that one.
Wow.
You should know better than that.
That is a big story locally. I mean,
is it?
I feel like it is. I mean, they're playing good baseball.
Taylor Swift and Matty Healy broke up.
Yeah. Oh, man, wow. Dan.
All anyone has on the Marlins right now is this Arise is good, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's hitting 400, but let's talk about celebrities and dating because the milkshake ladies of the game.
Point of spinning the wheel.
Shakira is, I don't know whether she's dating Lewis Hamilton or Jimmy Butler. Both are being rumored, but those aren't even the ones you guys are interested in.
No, it's not. We're interested in Taylor Swift and Matty Healy around these parts. And I will say, if you want some journalism, Shakira was at the last Heat game, saw her walking back
She's been at many.
I'm just saying, just some journalism, on site. But Taylor Swift and Matty Healy. Taylor Swift and Matty Healy. This was, I want to say, a romance for the decades, Charlotte. This was a flicker in the night. Taylor Swift and Matty Healy. Matty Healy is the lead singer of a band called The 1975, a British man who is an entire bit by himself. Charlotte?
Yes, he is. He's Hunter Harris, who writes the newsletter Hung Up, described him, his face was looking like a question mark.
That's right.
Which is the best way I could, and he's said bad things about a lot of stuff, and fans were really upset about it, and there was a parody account that went viral that fans were unionizing. Taylor Swift fans were going to unionize because they felt so slighted by how much work they had been doing making friendship bracelets for her concert. And then, and she was dating someone they didn't approve of.
Yeah, they were really, really, really unhappy with this. And it does sort of feel like Taylor Swift's fans don't only have the pull to sort of, you know, change the entire system of capitalism with Ticketmaster, but also bully their favorite person out of being in a relationship. Because she seemed super happy based off all of the leaked photos that we were seeing, and they're walking around together, and he's wearing hats with her album title on it, and going to all of her concerts, and they're saying I love you back and forth through TikTok messages without anybody actually knowing it.
And, you know, sports fans have got to be real pissed about this, because sports fans can't get their teams to do anything. The Knicks won't sell, all of that. And then Taylor Swift's out, and her fans can get her to break up with someone. So I think sports fans need to get a little more juice.
Swifties.
Chris Cody, please help me, because I saw that Amin didn't go to the penalty box. Thinks because it's Friday, he can do whatever he wants. Thinks because he's in charge around here that he can do whatever he wants. So he just went and sat out on the couch out there with Boris Sanchez. Can you send them both to the penalty
box?
Ooh, wow.
To the penalty box, please. Have Boris Sanchez and Amin get to the penalty box, please. Get them out of here. Amin's been a disaster. Evidently, his mixer was a giant hit, though. Hugely popular. And I don't think there's been a better or bigger development locally than Billy Cares About Hockey. Credentialed media member, went to the went to a final game last night.
I don't care about hockey. I report on hockey.
Yep.
Yeah, how much did you hate getting home at 1 a.m.? I didn't hate it. It was part of the job as a hockey journalist.
It's a job, right. Yeah. Exactly right. Yep.
Billy, how did it feel in overtime when that goal shook through your chest?
It felt good for the fans who were there rooting for the team. For me, it felt like another day at the office.
Yep.
Christ almighty.
Did you see whether Roy was thrilled? Because this Oxbox situation, you have to understand, under the best of circumstances, Roy is a solar system away from where the hockey action is. Those press boxes there are in a different universe. It's not close to the action. It smells atmospherically different because you're in the clouds.
Okay. So the way that the press box is at the FLA Live Arena is it's already up there.
You're like home away from home.
It's yeah. all the way at the top. Yeah, it's all the way at the top. Now, what happens was because so many people like myself are there to cover the event, they closed off like the top, I don't know, 10 rows of the two sections directly next to it. So it's the same height. You're still at the exact same height as everyone else. You're just in the seats. So, and here's an unpopular take. I kind of like the auxiliary press box that's in the crowd because you kind of get a feel for the environment, which is not what you're getting in the press box.
I'm with you, Billy. I'm 100%.
I had it at the World Baseball Classic. I was in the middle of bands playing. Like, it was great.
Roy, did you like it better?
Yeah.
No, he did not. He also, I'm not here to snitch, but
for Roy.
I'm reporting. I may have seen a fist bump after Tkachuk's goal.
Roy.
Fist bump. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a hidden fist bump. Yes.
In the press box.
It was a big goal by Chucky.
Yeah, that's how big the goal was.
In the press box.
In the press box, yeah.
Well, in the press.
Roy, we're going to Vegas. We're going to Vegas.
We're going to Vegas, yo.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.